Know Mike Brannon usually sits right where he is. So Tom's lived in this area 13 years-ish, and he's familiar to people who participated in Living Room from time to time, showing up, and his wife also. And last week, or earlier this past week, I asked Tom if he'd be willing to take the pulpit for a day, and he gladly agreed. So I've spoken to Tom a number of times, and I'll get there. So anyway, so glad to have you, Tom. And children, you are free to go to children's ministry at this time. So, Tom, God bless you. And just pray for anointing on you during this service, for you to be able to speak the words from the Lord in the power of the Lord with all his will and all the force of his power and his great loving kindness behind you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You all clapped before I even preached. It's an honor to be here, truly. I want to make myself available to preach whenever God calls. And so when Keith called, I didn't really have anything in mind to preach. I have preached a few times in the past, and I thought I would modify one of my other sermons. And actually, it wasn't until yesterday afternoon that God spoke to me and revealed what he'd like me to share today. For those of you who don't know me, obviously my name is Tom. That's my beautiful wife, Judy, back there. We have 5 adult children. One lives here. The rest are scattered. We were raised, both of us were raised in the agriculture industry. I got saved in 93 on a ranch in a feed truck with no one around. And from then, I began to pursue God, and he's led me on one incredible journey. And I am blessed to have my wife, who's been with me every step of the way. But what you might not know is I'm not as funny as Keith and Jim. So, and I'm not here interviewing for the job that Keith threw out there. So, anyway, I've been pursuing God for, looks like 30 years now, and it's been real. It hasn't always been easy, but it has been real. So, Jesus said over and over in the 4 Gospels that these words are not my own. They come from him who sent me. Or these words are not my own. They came from my Father who is in heaven. Paul, Paul said something similar. Paul said, "Pray for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel." And I ask that of all of you here today, that you pray for me so that what comes out of my mouth is not my words, but it's God's words. Because if I speak, his word fails. But if God speaks, there is fruit. Also, I want to represent Jesus well. And I don't always do that. So I am humbly asking for your prayers. Something I'd like to make clear before we start, and I always start with this, whether I'm preaching or just talking with others, believers or non-believers. Number one, I'm not perfect. And I know that's a shock to some of you, but it's true. I'm not perfect. In Acts chapter 17, it says, "Now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and searched the scriptures daily to see if what Paul said was true." So I'm not Paul. That would be weird, but I'm not Paul. Paul was one of the greatest teachers of all time, and here the Bereans saw it necessary to be in their word, to make sure that they were hearing the truth. And so I'm asking all of you, be Bereans. Don't just take my word for what I say. Read it for yourself. I do have a responsibility to preach the gospel accurately, but I do fail. Yet, like Paul, when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, for I'm compelled to preach. And so I don't know what kind of time limit we normally have here, but I can talk Jesus all day if you want to listen. So not really sure how long this will go. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and set the captives free." I never saw myself ever as being someone who would preach, but I'm compelled to preach. And I believe that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I feel him in this room today. And I pray that he does fill this room, that he touches each one of us. I'm not here to talk about how to live your best life now. I would like to rather challenge all of you, including myself, in what we think and what we believe. Several years ago, back home in Montana, I had been pursuing God and been involved in the church for since 93. And every time I was in my word, I kept seeing things that I didn't understand and seeing things that were catching my attention. And I always knew there was something more than just church. And we had Bible studies in our home. We taught parenting classes. We taught Dave Ramsey stuff. I had a men's ministry. I was part of the youth group leadership. And all of those things are fantastic. But I still felt like I was missing something. And so I began to pray for the more. I wanted something more. I knew there was more. I knew God wanted me to experience the more. And so one day we had a little prayer meeting at our house, and as we are praying, God speaks to me and he says, "Do you really believe what you claim you believe?" And I was shocked. But it requires contemplation. Do you really believe what you believe, what you claim you believe? We all need to take a step back sometimes and consider that question. Even Christians. Anyway, God said, "Do you even really know what you believe?" And I thought I did. I'd been in church. I'd heard messages. I was part of Bible studies. Lots of good things. And so it really caused me to step back and question, why is God asking this of me? Anyway, as I kept praying into this and praying for the more, God took me on a journey. It was not a journey I chose, but he gave me a job in Elko, Nevada. We lived in South Central Montana, right outside of Yellowstone Park, which is what I considered the promised land. And he was bringing me to the wilderness. So instead of just moving my family here right away, I commuted for 5.5 years. That's a 10-hour drive each way. Every 5 days, I was driving a 10-hour drive. And this commute, this job, pulled me out of church, pulled me out of youth group, pulled me out of men's ministry. And typically, when a person is out of fellowship with like-minded believers, their relationship with God suffers. And mine may have in the beginning, I can't really recall, but this was actually an answer to prayer, which I didn't see for a long time. But anyway, I drug my feet and coming to Nevada, and on this commute, God began to pull me into himself. I found myself in the Word more than I ever had been in my life. The more I was in the Word, the more I experienced him. I saw things in God's Word that I'd never seen before, and I didn't have a watered-down message that was telling me something different than what I was reading in God's Word. Nothing wrong with Bible-believing churches. We need those. We need sound preachers like Keith, who's got the message, who's got the Holy Spirit, who can reveal it to us. But there's also a lot of things that don't get taught. Well, God was teaching me these things, and I would see things, and it would jump off the page. Like on the day of Pentecost, when Peter gets up and addresses the crowd because they think that the disciples, the now apostles, are drunk. And Peter says, "These men are not drunk on wine as you suppose. No, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. This is what was spoken through the prophet Joel long ago." So he's telling them, this is fulfillment of prophecy. God says, "In the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will have visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both male and female, will I pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy." And I've seen that verse in Bible studies. I've heard it from the pulpit, but for the first time I'm seeing it with different eyes, not my natural eyes, but with spiritual eyes. And I realize I'm an all people. The Holy Spirit is for me. I'm a son. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Prophecy is for me. Your young men will have visions. Your old men will dream dreams. To some, I'm a young man. To others, I'm an old man. Dreams and visions are for me. That changed everything for me. When I saw that, when the Holy Spirit opened my eyes to that, it changed everything. I began to pray into that verse, and the God experience that I had for the next several years was incredible. Dreams and visions, prophecy and revelation. Whenever I prayed for it, it happened. When I was least expecting it, it might happen when I'm driving my car. It might happen when I'm taking a shower. There was one time, I know this is weird, but at the mines, you shower with 30 or 40 other guys. That's weird, but it's what we do. Anyway, I remember being in the shower at work one time after work, 12-hour shift, and It's like I'm paralyzed, standing there, the water's running over me, and God is giving me a revelation that I can't speak, I can't move. It was incredible. So I still pray for dreams and visions, but I don't pray for the dreams as much, even though I should. The dreams scared me. They carried a lot more weight than the visions. The visions were incredible. The visions were beautiful, something to act upon right here, right now. So anyway, God posed these questions to me long before he ever allowed me to ask them to anyone else. So the question for you guys is, do you really believe what you claim you believe? And do you know what you really believe? Tough questions, especially coming from a stranger in a church full of Christians. But they're questions that we need to ask ourselves. They're valid questions. I'm not here to judge anyone. I just want to challenge all of us to go deeper in our walk. So, how about the hard verses? Do we believe the hard verses? Jesus told his disciples, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you're not worthy. And he lost a lot of disciples on that day. Do we believe that? Do we believe that unless we eat his flesh and drink his blood? Well, there's more to that than just that statement, and we need revelation from God to understand what that really means. Obviously, those didn't have it. But how about the easy ones? God loves you. Do you believe, really believe, that God loves you? Are you living like God loves you? How about, my God shall provide all your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus? Do we believe that? Paul told the Philippian church, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So when was the last time you thought about salvation with fear and trembling? Because I don't think that I ever have thought about salvation with fear and trembling. Maybe some have, and that's awesome. James says that even the demons believe and shudder with fear. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Do we understand that? Do we believe that? So why is it important to know what you believe? Because what you believe determines how we behave, determines what we say, what we do. It becomes our faith. What we believe becomes our faith. Romans 12:2. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. Paul's talking to the church. If we're all saved and we're all believers and the Holy Spirit is in us, Jesus is in us, why is he telling the church to be transformed? Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world. Well, this is what Jesus did with the disciples. They were Christians pre-Christ. They were believers. Jesus called them, come follow me. They had been looking for a Messiah. Jesus spent 3 years with them, transforming them so that they didn't follow the patterns that they were living, the patterns of this world. Paul's saying the same thing. We have a great deceiver. Satan is a great deceiver. And he lies to us. He's been lying since the beginning. When Paul said, "Do not conform," he's telling us we need to change the way we think, which in turn changes what we believe, changes our faith, and then ultimately changes how we live our life on this earth. What is faith, and why do we need to change our faith? We all have faith in something. Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So, hope is not faith. Being sure is faith. So, what are you sure of? What are you sure of? Are you sure the sun's going to rise tomorrow? Most of us are because we've experienced it our whole lives. Are you sure that God loves you? Have you experienced it? Have you internalized that? Most of us would agree that we're spiritual beings living in a natural body on a natural earth, and that there is a spiritual realm all around us that we don't see. But are you sure? Are you sure there's that spiritual realm? If you cannot see it, how can you be certain? That's faith, being sure and being certain of what you do not see. So we don't see it because we haven't been taught to see it. We see with our natural eyes, but we are spiritually blind. From the moment we're born, everything we experience is in the natural. We are delivered out of a 98.6 degree body into a 70-something delivery room. That's our first experience, and we feel it. And all through life, we are taught, we experience the natural. Hot, cold, sharp, dull, wet, dry, pain. And then we're taught, school is all about teaching us to think and reason in the natural. But unless we're born into a family with parents that have experienced the spiritual realm and teach it, we're not likely to be taught how to see in the spirit unless we have a God encounter like Paul. And God does that. He does. He did it to me in the feed truck. I wasn't riding a donkey, but he showed up. Our natural experiences reinforce what we're taught in the natural. Then to complicate things more, the world preaches its own gospel. It's a counterfeit gospel, but the world preaches a gospel of its own, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and Satan uses this counterfeit gospel to keep us distracted from the genuine gospel. He keeps our focus on things of this earth, just like in the garden. Adam and Eve literally missed the forest for the trees. He took their focus off the garden, what God had to offer, which is the kingdom. God is offering the kingdom. And he offered them a fruit. It's the classic bait and switch. Satan has us conforming to the patterns of this earth. He has most of us Christians appearing no different than other people who don't know God. There's no shame in that. We just don't understand what's happening. Satan has us putting our faith in what the world has to offer rather than what God has to offer. He has us trusting our own ability to provide for our families instead of "My God shall supply all your need." He has us trusting in our healthcare systems rather than coming to him to be healed. Trusting our government to take care of us. Not everyone, but he does that. He has us living outside the garden. So just to clarify, is it wrong to have a 401k? Is it wrong to have a job? Is it wrong to go to the doctor? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. He wants our heart. He wants our heart. He wants us to be wise, but he wants our heart. I had a conversation with someone a while back about faith, praying to be healed, and yet going to the doctor, and what does that say about my faith? And the answer is that God had my attention for all of those months before the surgery. Isn't that what he wants? Our attention? God doesn't care if we are healed through a doctor or through some miraculous sign. I mean, he even said this world, this adulterous nation is looking for a sign. Well, it's not wrong to look for a sign if our heart's right, right? It's not wrong to ask to be healed. God shows up in those difficult times. So how do we change? How do we renew our mind so that we are not conforming to the patterns of this world? How do we get faith? Romans 10. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But we all have faith in some things. So faith actually comes by hearing and hearing. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. So what are you hearing and hearing? Are you hearing and hearing the counterfeit gospel of this world? Right? When the neighbor drives by in his new truck, or when we have financial consultants come and tell us we have to do this and this with our money, and we're not seeking God on it. What are we hearing and hearing? Do we run to the doctor before we even stop to pray, let alone calling our church family to pray for us? Where's our heart? That's what God wants. He doesn't want behavior modification, because behavior modification does not work. Deliverance works. Transformation works. The Holy Spirit works. Behavior modification is of the flesh, and it will only lead to death. if we are hearing the world's gospel more than the gospel of Jesus Christ, we will have faith in the world. What we put in matters. If we put in the gospel of the world's going to come out. If we put in the gospel of Jesus Christ is going to come out. Guaranteed. And it's not just for us, it's for everyone around us. When Jesus Christ comes out of our mouths, people get saved, people get healed, people get delivered, marriages are restored. It's an amazing thing when we put Jesus in, what comes out. Keith was talking about transforming the city. This is how it's done. This is how it's done. Put Jesus in, Jesus comes out. When we are consistently hearing and hearing the Word of God, we will begin to experience Him in very real ways. We will know what we believe. That experience, that experience confirms what we're hearing and hearing. If we're hearing and hearing the world, right? We got insurance through our workplace, and we go to the doctor, and we get fixed. Okay, the healthcare system worked. We put money in our 401k, and when we retire, look, I got a nest egg. It worked. But when we put Jesus in, it transforms the results in a very different way. It confirms what we're reading, what we're hearing. Our lives will be different from those around us. It'll be different than those that we work with. It'll be different from our friends and even some of our family. And that's tough, but it's also beautiful. It's very beautiful. People get saved because our lives are different. We are to be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within us. Have you ever been asked about your hope? If your hope is evident, you will be asked. As you're hearing and hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, prepare yourself for an answer because you will be asked. You will be transformed. Believers were first called Christians in Antioch. Why? We call them Christians because we read the word. But on that day when they were first called Christians, it was because their lives were different. A lot different. And they realized that these men had been with Jesus. They were called Christians. When you see somebody with a fish bumper sticker at the gas station, do you go up and say, "My name's Tom, I'm a Christian"? Are you a Christian? We're labeling ourselves. When we're transformed, we don't have to label ourselves. Others will label us that way. They might call us a good person or something else, but those who have heard about Jesus will know that we are Christians. We don't have to introduce ourselves as Christians. They'll hear it in what we say. They'll see it in what we do. They'll see it in the way we treat our wives. Do you really believe what you claim you believe? Jesus fulfilled the prophecy from Isaiah when he said, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because he has sent me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and set the captives free." Do you believe that? Amen. Amen. Jesus came for that reason, to heal the brokenhearted and set the captives free. Today we have many broken and hurting people. We live in a broken, hurting world. We live in a world where there's addictions and abuse, where there's financial troubles, where there's injuries, or there are so many reasons why people are broken and hurting. And Jesus came to heal them and set them free, deliver them. So, I'm not giving out false hope here. It's not false hope. This is faith. It's real. It's real. And when people ask me about it, I can tell them about my experience. He has healed my broken marriage. He has brought deliverance from addictions. He has set me free from my past life. And he has transformed me into who I am today. If the people that I hang out with today knew me before, they wouldn't believe it. So, Jesus wants to heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out demons. He wants to restore marriages and relationships of all kinds. If anyone wants to come up and receive healing, if you want to receive a touch from the Holy Spirit, if you're carrying a burden that is too much to bear, bring it up here. I will pray with anyone for as long as it takes. And if you have any questions about any of this message, I am more than willing to answer your questions. Thank you for having me.